Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
This email was sent to us on the 4th of June 2013. And that is 2 years ago, as you probably know, over 2 years ago. And I'm just going to read it to you because it said, "Ryan, I'm sitting my leaving cert next week, but I've been suffering from depression for the last few months. I've been put on antidepressants, but they didn't work. So they were changed the other day and these are still going to take a few days to work. What am I supposed to do? Does anyone have any advice as to how I can carry on with my life at the moment? I can't push myself to get out of bed on a daily basis, let alone study. And this is killing me because I know I'm going to be in trouble for my exams. I'm tempted to repeat sixth year or just run away and forget about them all. Any help would be appreciated." And that we read out, and that was sent to us by Aoife Malone, who's sitting before me this morning. Aoife.
Hi, Ryan.
How does it feel hearing those words?
Quite strange, because I've kind of come around in a long circle, and that email does sound very kind of stark and to the point.
Kind of desperate as well.
Yeah, but there's a whole story around it, and kind of listen to that and knowing the background story, it kind of feels like I've come full circle now, and it's nice. It's nice hearing it.
So that was 2 years ago. So you're now, what, 20 years old?
20 years old, yeah.
And at the time, clearly around 18 or thereabouts, doing your leaving cert, and your nerves gone like so many other leaving cert students.
Yeah, basically.
But you did get to the point where you wrote that.
Yeah.
So what brought you there?
Well, I'd been suffering for a few years with an illness, but I didn't know what it was, what was causing it. Mm-hmm. And because of the background of the illness and the lack of support I was receiving from the medical community, I was actually being over-medicated for a thyroid condition, which was causing the depression and severe anxiety at that stage. But we didn't know. We just assumed it was depression. So coming up to the leaving cert exams, I was 2 weeks before, 1 week before, and I didn't know if I was going to be able to go in and sit them. Yeah. I was suffering with extreme fatigue, brain fog, aches and pains. And it was kind of, do I stay? Do I sit them? Or do I just give up now and give into it all?
So that, and you wrote that email. Yeah. Can you remember what was said about the email then in terms of comment and...
Yeah, I remember listening back to it. And when I sent it, I kind of sent it on the spur of the moment. I wasn't thinking about it. I didn't even think it would be read out. Mm. And listening to the comments sent in, it was relieving to kind of hear other people's support and going, okay, well, I'm not alone. I am able to do this. And good. I heard other people's situations that were similar. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of nice knowing, okay, well, they've helped me. And that, I think, is what brought me here today, thinking, okay, well, they helped me with their comments. Maybe I can say something else that will help other people as well.
That's the great, I suppose, point of interviews and guests and emails like yours and like you, because it proves the point that we could actually probably give somebody a dig out and make them feel a bit less alone in what they have. So that's good news. But we need to go back, I suppose, a little bit to your story, don't we? Because you were, what, about 14?
Yeah, I was 14 kind of when it all started. So I was in secondary school. Everything was going great.
Yeah.
I was sporty.
Happy.
I was outgoing, happy.
Yeah.
I loved going out with my friends. And everything was fine. But all of a sudden, I kept getting infections. I would only be finished one antibiotic and I'd be on another, or I'd be given steroids, and nothing seemed to be working. So they think now that I got glandular fever at that stage, which a lot of young people do get, but it's not caught early enough to be treated. Mm. And I wasn't treated for it. So that developed into ME, which is myalgic encephalomyelitis. It's a mouthful, I know, but we didn't know at the time that's what it was. And I was suffering from extreme fatigue. I was in bed at one stage and I wasn't able to get out. You're not able to walk down the stairs, you're not able to get out of the house, you're not able to meet your friends. That's a lot of what people associate with chronic fatigue end of it. But there's also a lot of other symptoms, like the brain fog, like the cognitive impairment that you don't think of, but sometimes if I was going to talk, I'd forget what I was saying. I'd forget the words that I was going to say. I wouldn't know what day it was. I wouldn't know where I was or what I was doing.
No.
So it seems stark now, but I know that there was a study a few years ago and it actually showed that the cognitive impairment symptoms are similar to those experienced in mild dementia. So just to kind of give listeners an idea of what is experienced, that kind of forgetfulness.
Everything is slowed down. It's like you're living in slow motion.
That's exactly what it is.
You don't want to get up. You can't even formulate a thought.
Yeah.
You're feeling what? Are you
emotionally, are you feeling strong in the sense that, you know, psychologically, but it's just that physically you're feeling...
Yeah, that's exactly the way it was when I was younger. Because I didn't understand what was going on. I just knew my body wasn't able to keep up with my mind. So emotionally, I felt fine at that stage. Mm. It was just my body couldn't keep up. And that's what we later found out about ME. It is a neurological condition, but it affects all the organs. It just slows all the organs down, so they can't operate at full speed at 100%. So whereas a normal person could go out one night, someone my age could go out and be up until 3 or 4 o'clock and then get up the next day and go to work. Mm. I wouldn't be able to do that. If I managed to get out, it would have to be like a planned out event. I'd have to have a rest beforehand. I may stay out until 12:01 at the latest. I may manage that. And then I'd probably spend 2 or 3 days in bed afterwards recovering from it.
From all the exertion of it.
Yeah.
The medical community, as far as I understand, profession, is a bit sceptical of ME.
Yeah.
Is that right? I mean, what do they think? Why are they sceptical, I suppose?
I really don't know. We've come a long way in kind of looking for answers from the doctors and the medical community in Ireland, but they don't seem to want to acknowledge it as an illness. I know in some countries, most of the countries, it is the same, that they won't acknowledge it in its own right. But in the last years, it has gotten better. Mm. But over the years, especially when it started, we'd be going to the doctors and different consultants and specialists, and they'd be just saying, oh no, you're imagining it. It's all in your head. You just don't want to go to school. You're looking for attention. And I think for a 15, 16-year-old grown up, and you're trying, you're pushing your body to do what it can, and you can't. And to be told that, it's very, it's heartbreaking.
You got that, did you? You got the kind of, now listen,
oh,
there's
100%.
Nothing wrong with you, missus.
Yeah.
Get up off your arse and get into school.
That's
and stop.
Exactly.
Did you?
Nearly word for word.
Get away.
And there was one stage where I was being brought to the hospital, like to doctor's appointments, in a wheelchair. And that's something I didn't really admit at the time. I tell my friends, but I couldn't. I physically didn't have the energy to walk from the car, from the car park into the rooms. But I was still being told, oh, well, we can't find anything wrong with you. So
did they ever find anything wrong with you, quote unquote?
See, it's hard because of the illness, because of its variability, it's hard to find diagnostic tests that kind of specifically say you have ME. It's more of breaking it down from other things. But there are specific tests that other doctors are doing kind of in the UK and America. But because we don't have the facilities here and we don't have the support from the doctors to get these tests done, it costs €500 or €600 each.
Yeah.
So it is a lot. Now, over the years, we have gotten some that point to ME. So it is.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
So do the doctors, if it's a neurological thing, are they saying it's a psychological issue for this patient that can't be treated other than maybe in a psychiatric maybe or psychological rather than a physiological?
Well, yeah.
In physical sense of it.
Even that would be an improvement, but no, they seem to just downright ignore it. I know the World Health Organization has said it's a neurological condition, but if you ask doctors or specialists in Ireland, UK, they seem to say, okay, well, we'll treat it with cognitive behavioural therapy and graded exercise.
But no
medication. And I know there are studies going on at the moment with different medications, which do seem hopeful. But I know the graded exercise therapy is something that they're pushing a lot these days. And I know for me, it definitely did not help me. It made me worse. And I've heard a lot of other people saying that. But still, that's the route they're going down, even though studies have shown that stuff like pacing is been much more beneficial.
Pacing meaning?
Pacing, so as simple as it sounds, say if I have this today, I'll only book one thing in a day. Like I know if I go home now, I'll have a rest and I'll have to recover, and I wouldn't have done anything yesterday. That would be too strenuous.
In advance of today.
So it's kind of, you're limiting what you can do to allow you to get back to some sort of normality.
Yeah.
Like I started college last September. And it was struggle adjusting in, but I limited other things. Like I wouldn't go out much with my friends because I knew I wanted to go into college the next day. So I'd pace what I was doing the day before. I can't go out exercising, but I'm able to do the normal things in life. I'm able to spend time with my family. So that's more important.
That's the pacing part. What age were you when you were prescribed with antidepressants then?
I would have been just about 18.
18, so that's 2 years ago. So post-leaving cert?
Pre-leaving cert.
So just in advance of the exams.
Because at the start of sixth year, I knew things weren't going well. I could feel a relapse coming back on and I didn't want to go through it all again. Mm. So the decision was made that I'd finish the year through home tuition, which did help it mostly. But at the same time, there was a lot of pressure going on. And eventually I did end up relapsing anyway with the stress and the kind of the physical pressure of all the work that had to be done.
Yeah.
So at that stage, I'd been seeing new consultants and I was being treated for a thyroid problem, which is very common in people who suffer with ME. It's a very common complaint.
Sure.
But because there's no consultant in Ireland, not one person who will deal with all the different aspects of ME, you're going from doctor to doctor dealing with different things and there's no monitoring. So what happened to me was the doctors weren't monitoring the medication I was on enough and I ended up being over-medicated for thyroid and suffering with severe anxiety and depression, which went on for about 6 to 8 months.
Yeah.
So that would have been around the time of that email. And I had to take a year out then from college and school to try and sort everything back.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get a handle on it, I suppose, isn't it? In some ways, because with the medical practitioners, doctors and so on saying, there's nothing wrong with you. And you're saying, well, look, there's reports here that say there's everything wrong. I mean, I'm not making up my exhaustion.
Yeah.
And they're saying, well, tiredness isn't sickness, you know? So it's a complicated story, isn't it?
It is, and I think because that it's so hard to diagnose, and with the doctors seem to just do the general routine blood tests, and they won't vary off the script, and I think that's the problem.
They need to open their minds a little bit
and look at the whole body as one instead of just looking at different parts.
Yeah,
I think sometimes it's referred to as chronic fatigue syndrome, which. Sometimes it's not helpful because people then get the idea that it's just fatigue and they don't understand that there's the aches and pains you feel in your body where you can't move your legs. My hair used to fall out. And as strange as it sounds, there'll be sleep disturbances. Yeah. So as much as you would want to sleep for 5 or 6 hours, you might be awake half the night.
And that all sounds like anxiety, you know, to the armchair viewer.
That's what people would think because it's anxiety, but there are tests you can do to see if it's psychosomatification, but everything came up negative. And you have to, after years and years, at one stage, I remember, I think I was 15, I sat in the doctor's office and I said, send me to a psychiatrist. If that's what it takes for you to believe I'm not making this up, send me.
Right, because so you were at the end of your tether at that stage.
Yeah, I was a bit stubborn at that stage.
Do you have to make excuses to friends and things when you to explain why you're not going to be at that thing or that gig or that match?
Now, up until very recently, I think, because I didn't fully accept it myself that that was what was wrong, I was always in the back of my head, I was hoping there'd be something else.
Okay.
We'd be fine that it was some other condition. I think because of the lack of hope I felt, the lack of support around it, I was always hoping that it'd be something that'd be easier to diagnose, something that'd be easier to treat. So I'd always find myself speaking to my friends and saying, oh no, I'm just tired, or oh, I've just got an infection, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Now my close friends, they would have known what was going on and they'd be very supportive, and I have to be thankful to them and my family because I wouldn't have gone through it without them.
And do they all believe in the ME illness as you see it, rather than say to you, okay, that's Aoife with her tiredness thing?
Definitely do now, because they knew me beforehand and I was such an overachiever. I was one of them people who, if I had an exam coming up at Christmas, I'd be studying like 12 weeks beforehand, kind of things. I was one of them, and they knew for me to be lying in bed, not wanting to get up, not being able to do anything, they knew that something was wrong. So they kind of, we all put two and two together and came together to get through it.
So let's go back to the email that you sent us then on June the 4th, 2013, mm-hmm. saying end of tether stuff, like I say, and I'm not sure if I want to do any more. And I don't know whether I want to run or stay, fight or flight. You, to your credit, you eventually did sit your leaving cert.
I did.
You just got your results from your first year exams in psychology in Maynooth.
I did.
And how'd you do?
I did fantastic. I ended up getting a first overall.
Oh, so congratulations.
Thank you. I was delighted.
And you enjoying the college experience then and everything?
I am. I'm loving it. Now, it is slightly different to the normal college experience. I'm not going out every night. I'm not partying the whole time. But yeah. I'm doing what I can do, and to be honest, it's a hell of a lot more than I thought I could have done 3 or 4 years ago or even 6 months ago when I was in a relapse. So for that, I'm grateful and I'm thankful.
And you're in charge. What does the future hold for you with regards to ME then?
I'm hopeful that there'll be more acceptance of it in society.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that even by doing this, people will understand that it's not just the yuppie flu. It's not just I'm too...
Forgot that expression, the yuppie flu. That's going back. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not just pretending to be ill or exaggerating. This is a real illness. And if there's someone that you know who has these symptoms, don't just pass it off, because you never know what they could be going through. If someone saw me in a normal day when I'm feeling fine, like today, you wouldn't think, oh, she's ill or she's after spending 6 months
in bed. You look like the least ill person I've ever met.
Exactly. Today is a good day. Yeah. But you never know. I could wake up tomorrow and not be able to move.
Okay.
So, and unless someone actually said to you, how are you feeling? Mm-hmm. How are you feeling? You wouldn't think.
Simple question, isn't it? Often gets profound answers. Thank you, Aoife and Ryan, for highlighting this horrible disease. I have ME, diagnosed in the UK in 2005. Not spoken about enough. Aoife is speaking so well, and it's like she could be speaking about myself. Look after yourself, Aoife, and thank you for telling your story, from Aideen Reid.
Wow.
Another says, my son had glandular fever, post-viral fatigue in second year in school. He slept solidly for nearly 9 weeks. No appetite, no concentration, etc. It still affects him a year later and badly affected his junior cert year, as he missed months of school through anxiety as a result of his illness. But I'm so proud of him, as he did sit his exams. It's an illness that very few people understand. Very little sympathy is given by professionals. So it's great to hear more needs to be done about this, says Karen. And Moira says, thanks for giving ME a platform this morning. I've had it since 2007. And the hardest thing about the illness is the lack of support from the medical world today, because of little or no education in medical college. The lack of diagnostic markers, lack of cure, etc. Getting the chance to raise awareness on a mainstream radio station and on a programme like yours is very important and effective. So many thanks for your support on that one. And one more says, ME is not just tiredness or fatigue, it's weakness, legs unable to hold you up, arms with no power, immune systems shot to hell, infection after infection, immense sweats followed by freezing, severe muscle spasm. These are all constant. Like all illnesses, there are varying levels: mild, moderate, severe, and very severe. They're all talking your language anyway, Aoife, obviously.
Yeah, I understand. And to be honest, I'm grateful that I have a more moderate condition, where it was a lot worse than I was younger. But I do get times like today where I have a reprieve, and I feel sorry for the people who don't. There are people I know who are bedbound. Some people have to be tube fed because they do not have the energy to keep going.
What's in the bag?
Cupcakes.
Did you bring in cupcakes?
I brought in cupcakes.
This bag. You came in kind of this big pink bag.
I felt like
You know,
we have to be nice. Well, share the love around.
That's very generous of you. You know, that's why we invited you in, by the way.
Okay,
we heard you were pretty handy with the cupcakes.
Well, I feel good. You could eat the cupcakes and we'll just, you know, share the awareness around.
That's
and it works both ways.
That's a good quid pro quo. Aoife Mullen, wish you well.
Thank you very much.
Especially in your studies there in Maynooth. Enjoy yourself.
Thank you.
And look after yourself health-wise and everything else. It's been a pleasure to see you in studio.
Well, thank you for having me on today.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks a million.